Morning. I think it deserves a little bit of recognition this morning. Our mothers who are in attendance. My lesson actually really has nothing to do with Mother's Day, but it does have something to do with being children. We'll start off in 8:12. Through 17, Romans 8, 12 through 17, excuse me. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. From that reading, there are three concepts I would like to focus on. The first of which is that we are debtors. A definite of which is one who is guilty of a sin or trespass, which we are all sinners. And the next definition, it would be a person who owes a creditor, someone who has an obligation of paying a debt. We are debtors because we are sinners who continually live according to the flesh and therefore fall short of the glory of God. The wages of those sins is death. And we are debtors because of that. We are debtors who have no way of repaying our debt. In an ordinary situation like this, the person who owes the debt would be given a few warnings by the debtor and then possibly charged interest or even thrown into jail. But we do not receive the same treatment by our God. We have a debt that we cannot pay, so our creditor gives us his son to remove the debt, and we are forgiven. Secondly, in the passage that we read, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? One example that we have is John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things to come. What I want to focus there is the fact that the Spirit of God will guide you. The Spirit of God will not push you. It will not take you to a place that you have no idea what's going on. So I feel like if you feel that you are being pushed and led to do something of no understanding of your own, that I do not believe you can attribute that to the Holy Spirit. He's meant as a helper to profit understanding and wisdom, not to live our lives for us. The second part of that thought states that if we are led by the Spirit of God, then we are sons of God. So what is it to be a child of God? 1 John 3, verses 9 and 10 says, no one who is born of God makes a practice of sinning. For if God's seed abides in him, he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Thirdly, from the passage we read this morning, the Bible calls us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So what is an heir? A person who is entitled by law or by terms of a will to inherit the estate of another. A successor, a person who inherits some title or office. Inheritance is the practice of passing on property, titles, debts, and obligations upon the death of an individual. The person who receives or inherits what belongs to a relative, the heir usually inherited these things when the relative died. In the Old Testament, Israel was given or Israel was an heir of God, but they were given the promised land when their period of slavery passed away. To be an heir of God, we have to be children of God, as we discussed. So to be in Christ is to be an heir. Galatians 3, verses 27 through 29 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are of Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise." We have been brought back into a relationship with God through the shed blood of Jesus. We are heirs of all that was promised to Abraham, and we read of that in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in the families, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." There's a few facts of adoption and sonship spoken of in Galatians 4, 1 through 5. "I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. Though he is the owner of everything, he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father,' so that you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." After a time of instruction concerning his inheritance, the child of God is made ready to function in his role of authority or responsibility in the church family. As we become familiar with who we are and what our role is in the body of Christ, we will begin to take on the responsibilities that come with the talents and abilities that God himself has given to us. This verse, along with our topic verse, tells us that if we are children of God, then we are heirs along with Christ. In order for us to believe that, we must know that we have been born of his grace. In John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but of God." Everything pertaining to sonship is the result of the grace of God. It's all a matter of accepting Christ as Lord of our lives. And this scripture shows us that it's God's will that we will become his heirs. The inheritance is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 through 15. "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify the purifications of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Jesus paid for our transgressions and provided us a new and living way into our inheritance that we have from God." The Old Testament sacrifices never would have been able to provide us with the eternal relationship that we were intended to have with God. Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave himself so that we could become joint heirs with him. And as joint heirs with Jesus, we dare not compare our lives here with the glory that he can bestow upon us. Romans 8 and 18 tells us that. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth being compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. We are joint heirs with Christ on the day of judgment. And judgment, as we know, is in the hands of the Lord. Jude 14 and 15. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh son from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Judgment is given to those who come to their rightful place of dominion. Psalm 2:6-9. "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give to you the nations for your inheritance. And the ends of the earth shall be..." I'm sorry, excuse me. "And the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." Revelations 2:26-27. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I have received from my Father. We are not only joint heirs with Christ, but we are also joint heirs with Christ in government, so to speak. Matthew 25:31-32. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All of the nations will be gathered before him." And we are continuing the thought of being joint heirs. Revelation 3:21. "To him who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Because of the love of God, we become sons and heirs. 1 John 3:1-3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, we are now children of God. It has not yet been revealed to us what we should be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The world does not know us because they do not know the Father. We should desire for this to be so. We walk in all we know about sonship, and we continue to grow in understanding. If we do not exercise our responsibilities that we have been given through the gifts that God has given to us, we cannot grow into full maturity. To be counted as sons is a blessing from God, and even greater still is the promise that comes along with being sons of God, that we will inherit the kingdom of God. To be joint heirs with Christ Jesus, but we can't do that if we don't come and offer ourselves to him. If there's anything that this congregation can do for you in your walk, then let that be known as we stand and sing.